At the end of davening, we have Shesh Zechirot, six things supposed to remember. Five of the six appear in Sefer Devarim, and even the one that doesn't is Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, and in this week's Sedra in Veschanon, we have Shomar Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, and Rashi makes the famous comment that Zochar VeShomar were both said B'dibur Echad. I believe that's the correct. Zochor and Shamor was said B'dibur Echad. So you're going to ask me, why in L'chododi does it say Shamor V'Zochor were B'dibur Echad? Zochor, remember, is in Parshas Yisro, and Shamor is in Parshas V'Eschanon. So if you're waiting for some kind of a profound answer, you can be at ease. Reb Shlomo Alkavitz, who wrote it, wanted the letter Shlomo, Shin, for Shlomo, first. His name was not Zlomo. So therefore, it was Shomar V'Zochar B'Dibur Echad Nemru, and then you have the rest of his name. The whole period of the year in which we live is all memory. Remember, the period of the 3 weeks is when we take something that happened so long ago and we rebuild it again and to relive it, to re-experience it. The Rav often said that there are two kinds of avelus, two kinds of mourning. There's avelus chadosha. Avelus chadosha means a here and now new mourning. Never somebody dies in the family. So there's the period of onen until the burial, and then there's the first day, there's the first 3 days of the Shiva, the 7 days of Shiva, Shloshim, 12 months. There's a whole progression, but over there the purpose of the progression is in order to take the mourner, in a sense, by the hand from the trauma of the loss and finally bring the mourner back into society. There's Avelus Yeshona. The Avelus, the mourning for the Beit HaMikdash, is an Avelut of old. What the 3 weeks are supposed to accomplish is to take that old, ancient mourning and make it real all over again. So what really happens is we have precisely the opposite progression. In the 3 weeks, the intensity of the mourning grows from Shivas of Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Av, from Rosh Chodesh Av through the 9 days. 9 days we're going to come to, tomorrow is Erev Tisha B'Av, the Sudan of Sekes. We're already talking about the day of the Petira. Yom Kippur at night is already before the Kvura. Meso Muto Lefonov, one's dead, one is lying before him. Because the whole purpose is to rebuild, restructure in our minds and in our hearts all that took place. So it's all a story of history. History is so vital, is so significant, a part of Yiddishkeit, the idea to remember and to know. And of course, there is one extremely significant and important reason for all of this: never to repeat the mistakes of history again. So I've done some musings and thinking about that during the last few weeks. Number one, the first paragraph. This is taken from the Sefer Eim HaBonim Smecha. Eim HaBonim Smecha is one of the most unusual documents to have emerged from the Second World War. Rabbi Yisrochor Shloime Taichtal Hashem Yinkom Domo writes in this Sefer that he had always been opposed to Eretz Yisrael, opposed to the Yishuv. He was an anti-Zionist of the worst, the lowest order. And then when he sees what's happening to the Jews of Poland, he began to think, and he rethought his entire philosophy of life. And on the contrary, he arrives at the conclusion that our big mistake was that we forgot Eretz Yisrael. we should have been trying for hundreds of years to get back. We should have gone. We should have gone. The terrible tragedy was that we forgot Eretz Yisrael. So he says the following. Ubemedrash. This is a medrash on the Haftorah of Chazon, last Shabbos Haftorah. Yod Ashor Konehu V'chamor Evuz Ba'olav. The ox knows who is its owner. The donkey knows from whom it eats. Yisrael lo yoda ami lo hidbonan. My people Israel did not know, and my nation did not think. So the Medrash says the following. Yisrael lo yoda lishe'ovar. That's the word in the Medrash. Ami lo hidbonan la'atid lavo. V'akavona pshuta l'dati. The end of what Smecha says, you know what it all means? What it means is the following. The Medrash is telling us the following. Because we didn't know the past. We didn't care about the past. Yisrael lo yoda lishavar. We were incapable of contemplating the future. If, as some people say, the past bores me. We're into a new era. The past bores me. Yisrael lo yada. If they don't know the past, then Ami lo hidbonan, they'll never be able to understand. They will never be able to prepare themselves for what's going to happen. V'hakavona pshuta l'dati. Remember, he's sitting in 1942 and 43 in Budapest. And he's writing, and in most cases he's writing without the benefit of Svarim, and he was able to quote so much of Torah Baal Peh. And then a few months later, after the Sefer was printed, he was killed. I believe the story about it is he was on a train on the way to Auschwitz, and precise details, but anyway, Odom Godol, a giant. So he says, the meaning of this is simple. Sha'anovi Melchiach L'Yisrael, the Novi is admonishing the Jewish people, Sheshocheach Mehera Et Hatzarot She'avru Alav. Forgets too quickly. We forget too quickly the tzavas. Uklapei shohoyol ulmodul hizbonim in ha'ofar al-osid, and instead of what he should have done, we should have learned and understood from the past how to conduct ourselves in the future. Lilmod mehayamim v'ashanim ha'kashot, to learn from the difficult years shohavru aleim, shetokfu aleim gzeiros kashos, that there were such terrible decrees, v'hivshitu oram me'aleim, they took the skin off of us. And what was fulfilled in the Jewish people was that whatever they did was for naught. V'romsu v'chomsu, they trampled and they stole. B'li chemlo, without any mercy. Et ha'ovar hazeh hayo lehem leida. They should have known this past. K'dei lid bonei mizeh ala atid. So they should be able to think about the future. Shelo litein omein lehem od al haba. Not to ever trust them again. Don't trust them about the future. You can't believe them. We should have learned that throughout history.
Jews forget this too quickly. They make themselves as though they don't know.
What is the result of this? They forget the past, they don't think about the future. And that's what the Navi is crying out. Yisrael, oh Yada, Yisrael doesn't know Lishava, doesn't know the past. And Ami Lohid Bonein La'atid Levo, so my people did not think and contemplate the future. Sha'adovar Azdei Yuchal Lazav Olavo, it didn't occur to them that precisely this can all be repeated. The same thing is going to happen all over again. Chas V'Sholom. Just as our history proves. And then he says it in his Deutschmarisch, German, Oblende, Yiddish, which we have a translation that's underlined. He says the great tragedy of the Jewish people is not that which has befallen us. The great tragedy of the Jewish people is that we don't learn. We don't learn a lesson. We don't learn a lesson. Kan godel hatragedia. This is the great tragedy. In another section there,
This is next is also from Eimav Banim Smecha. In another section there, he takes the famous parashat Zachor that of course appears in Sefer Devarim. Zachor et asher osa locha Amalek baderech. Remember that which Amalek did to you on the road, b'tzeitchem imitzchayim, when you went out of Egypt. Asher korcho baderech vayuzaniv b'chol kol anechsholam achadecha. He attacked you on the road, and a sneak attack from behind, all the stragglers. Va'ato oyev v'yogea, you're exhausted and fatigued. V'lo yarei elukim, and he doesn't fear God. V'hoya, he's going to read, this next pasuk is going to be read in such a beautiful, original way by the Eimav Banim Smecha. Will come to pass when God is going to give you peace from all of your enemies, misaviv, all around, in the land that God gives you as an inheritance, timched zecher Amalek, destroy the memory of Amalek, mitachat hashemayim, from beneath the heavens, lo tishkach, don't forget. I'll tell you what he says, and then we're going to read the great words. He says two things. When it's all over, when the milchama is over, v'hoyo v'honiach Hashem elokecha l'cho mikol oyevecha. Finally, the war is over. You know what you have to do? You have to make sure that from then on and further, your life is going to be bo'odetz in the land, asher Hashem elokecha notein l'cho nachlo, the land that God gives you as inheritance. Don't remain here in Europe, he says. Flee! Get out! Because there's the feeling that when the war is over, everything is going to go back to what it was. So he says, no, the pasuk is telling you when the enemy is destroyed and it's over, you must make certain that your life is going to be only one place. Ba'aretz asher Hashem elokecha notein lecha nachlo. In that land. Then he makes a second comment, which is of such contemporary significance. He says it's a weakness. He says that it's a weakness of the Jewish people. It may very well be. I'm not sure about that yet. It may be. But he says there's the weakness of V'hoyo b'honiach Hashem elokecha l'cho mikol oyevecha. Well, you know, things have quieted down. No bus has blown up in about 5-6 weeks. It's not many, somebody killed here, then somebody shot there, but it's pretty quiet. We're not afraid to turn on the radio or the TV. We don't hear sirens already for a few weeks in the streets of Yerushalayim. The gate, you can go around the country now, Jews, and I enjoy it. I see Jews on vacation. My heart, flows over. We've been through an extremely difficult 2.5 years. You didn't have to take it easy. The only thing is that there's a terrible, terrible danger, he says. When there's going to be peace from all your enemies around, that's the most crucial moment of all. Because you know what you're bound to do then? You're bound to forget. That's the moment at which you're going to forget. So the Gemara is saying, Timche, destroy him. Don't forget it. Don't let your guard down. You've got to be on alert all the time. What an unusual way of learning that pasuk. His first comment, as I said, is, it should not occur to you, lihishoer od po begolus. Don't for a moment think that you're going to remain here in Europe. It should never occur to you. Elitus ameitz lo shuv liyerushata v'otecho. You should make every effort to go back to the inheritance of your father. Upazer. By the way, here comes an extremely beautiful comment. You should know the best way to destroy him is by building up Eretz Yisrael. Upazer. That's how you'll destroy him. Mashen came. If you're still going to remain here, not only will you not destroy Amalek, Ela od yischazek al yodcha b'ma shetitein chel chalo.
You know what? He's going to even go greater strength. You're going to want to do business, a little bit of business here, a little bit of business there. At first, it'll be a little difficult buying something from Germany. Then it'll get a little easier to make, buy something from Germany. And if anything, you're going to end up... in another section, he says he hopes that Jews are going to conduct themselves with Germany as they did for 500 years with Spain. If he'd know the way Jews conduct themselves with Spain today, the Eibar Bon Israel would turn over in his grave. You know what? When peace comes, go to Eretz Yisrael. Whatever I command you to remember, to despise him and his land. And that's why he says, Lo Tishkach, Hainu. Take a look at these two lines that are underlined. Anochi adati et midat hachalusha. I know your weakness. Shata shocheach maher et kol atlaot shalsu lecha b'yomim akoshim. You forget it all. Ubekal atam mitratzel mitpayesi mahem. Be'ezechiba ketano vekaroshima. If they just pat you on the back a little bit, they say a little nice word, and you forget about it all, and you bask in the glory of people are being nice to you. So he says, forget it. Al tishkach. Don't forget. Forget the good things. Don't forget the bad things. I'm building up to something. Let's go to the next, number three. Number three, I heard 2 weeks ago from my nephew. In the name of my brother, my oldest brother, Harav Yosef Yoel Gold, all of our shalom. He was rabbi in Worcester, Massachusetts for 36 years. And I got so upset with my nephew that you had such a good word for my brother and you haven't told me all these years. I got very upset with him. All right. Megillat Esther. I'm going to come to a pasuk that I'm ready to bet. You never really understood it. No, I take that back. We never really understood it. All right, so there's another pasuk you don't understand. Okay. You're going to understand it now. Oh yeah, you're going to understand it. You know that night when Haman decides that he's going to make the gallows, and in the early hours of the morning he comes to the king, and the king hears rustling of leaves, and he asks who's there, and they say Haman, Vayavo Haman. King asks him, what should the king do for somebody whom he wants to show honor? So Haman says, he thinks himself, it's me, put him on a horse that the king rode on, and put him royal garments in the waist, and take him through the streets saying, so shall be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor. So of course comes the unexpected of all. And the king said to Haman, my hair quickly, take the garments and take the horses just as you said. Vasei kein le Mordechai ha-Yehudi, he has to rub it in, not stam Mordechai. Do this to Mordechai Yehudi ha-Yoshe b'shar ha-Melech. Al tapel dovo mikol asher dibarta. Everything you said, do it. Pasuk says, Haman took it all, and he took him through the streets, and he called before him, kocho yeyosu luish asher ha-Melech chafetz b'karo. Vayoshev Mordechai al-shar ha-Melech. Mordechai went back to the gate of the king, and Haman came shoving back to his house, Ovel, in mourning the Chafurosh. Listen to the next pasuk. Vayisaper Haman l'Zeresh Ishto. Haman told his wife Zeresh ulechol o'avov and all of his friends at kol asher koro, everything that happened. It was the most humiliating day of his whole life. Vayomru lo chachom v'Zeresh Ishto. His wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, imi zera yehudim Mordechai asher hachiloto l'impolafonav. If this Mordechai, who you've begun to fall before him, is from the seed of Jews, lo tuchalo, you will never be able to overpower him.
Ki nafol tipol lefanav, because you shall fall before him. That's the great advice. You understand the great advice that his wife and his friends say? Haman, we got bad news and we got worser news. If this fellow, you're falling before his Mordechai Yehudi, then you should know, bist du in drerd, ki nafol tipol lefanav. Can't a man at least expect some words of encouragement, sympathy from his wife and his best friends? This is the unkindest cut of all. So my brother Olivar Shalom said the following. They're giving him the best advice in the book. If this Mordechai whom you've begun to fall before is from the Jews, you know what you do? Nafol tipol lefanav. Play the game. Fall before him. You know what? Oh, Mordechai, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You want a hudna? We'll hudna around. I'm going to order them right now to remove all weapons from all terrorists in 127 states. I'm going to start now myself cleaning off all the graffiti in Shushan and Shushan Abira. Just fall before him. You know what happens when you fall before him? Mordechai will fall for it. Because they always forget. You'll say a few good words. You'll come. And you know what? We can also arrange a handshake in the Chatzar Ginat Bitan HaMelech, in the presence of Achashverosh himself. Whatever you want to do. They're giving him very good advice, because they know the weakness as well. Nafol tipol lefanav. The only mistake, of course, that Haman made is, when he finally started falling, he was no fail al hamitar, on the bed upon which Esther finds himself. That was his undoing. But of course, they know that we'll fall for it time and time again. We'll buy and we'll pay for the same thing over and over again. I push it every morning. I mean, I've been waiting to say this year because I've been in such agony for 3 weeks now. Every day I read the newspapers and I see exactly everything that happened in the last 8 years. It's all over, yeah. Into Bethlehem, out of Bethlehem. Oh, Pigua? We're not going out of Bethlehem. Abbas, he's not strong enough yet. He needs our help. By the way, they always remain true. We're not going to fight the terrorists. We're not going to remove their weapons. That's the most important aspect of it. It's unbelievable. You don't even have to read the newspapers anymore. It's almost the same thing. Enough old tipol lefanav. Just play the game, this Mordechai and the whole bunch of them. And I think that's why they say, Imi zera ha-yehudim. If he has Jewish blood flowing in his veins, he'll fall for it. He just shall smile a little bit. You take him into the portals of power throughout the world. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm in such pain. I don't understand. We're living through a period of history that the whole point of this period of history is that if you soil lo yada, if you don't want to know what happened in the past, then ami lo hitbonan. You can't even begin to think about what to do in the future. It's just all going to fall apart. And we're going to pay the price. Ultimately, we're going to pay the price. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Let's turn over to the next side. I'll tell you, here I should have made a comment on the side. This is something that I heard from my son. I have a son who lives in Afula, Rav Menachem Gold. And this is the famous Gemara of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. All right, it's before Tisha B'Av. It's before Tisha B'Av. Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. So the Gemara says the following. I mean, you know, you can read the Gemara, you have the text there, but I'll tell you basically what the text says. Text says that there was a party. Man had a friend. Kamtza made the party, a fellow made a party, and he had a friend, Kamsa, and he had somebody he didn't like by the name of Bar Kamsa. He didn't like him a lot, a lot. Anyway, he sent an invitation, and the invitation, by mistake, the person who was supposed to give the invitation invited Bar Kamsa to the party, and Bar Kamsa comes into the party, and the fellow who's making the party sees Bar Kamsa over there. Vertem schwarz vor die Augen. It becomes him black before the eyes, for anybody who doesn't know Yiddish. By the way, you know, I've been working very hard this morning. I'm taking a little, just a little interruption. Not an interruption. This year, and all we've been talking about is dedicated in memory of Rav Avram Shlomo Borvik Ben Yaakov, Julie Spetner's father. Today is Yahrzeit. So you should know, I had in mind at the beginning of our study session to say it then, so you should know that the study session, which was terrific, this year, I don't know, we'll see yet, all is in memory of your father, and he should be a Melitz Yosef for the ganz Klal Yisrael. Alright. Anyway, Bar Kamsa comes into the party, and the fellow who makes the party is going to get Bar Kamsa out, regardless of what the cost is. Bar Kamsa says, listen, I'll pay for whatever I eat, no good. I'll pay for the half of the party, no good. I'll pay for the whole party, no good. And unceremoniously, or maybe even ceremoniously, he's thrown out of the party. So he decides that he's going to show these Jews, you can't do this to me. He's going to go tell Caesar in Rome that the Jews have rebelled against him. So he goes to Rome and he tells Caesar that the Jews have rebelled. Caesar doesn't simply take things at face value. He says, prove it to me. So he says, give me an animal to bring as a sacrifice. And we'll see. If they sacrifice an animal that is sent by Caesar, then we know that they have not rebelled. But if they will refuse, you know why they refuse? Because they're not taking any instructions anymore from Caesar. Anyway, he comes to Yerushalayim and he brings the animal. But on the way, he made a slight blemish in it. A blemish, the Gemara says that according to us Jews, we cannot bring it on the altar. But for them, by Goyim, it's not considered a blemish. Either a split on the lip or something on the eyelid. Anyway, he comes before the Chachamim, and here's their dilemma. And the Gemara outlines their dilemma. There were those who said, listen, let's bring this sacrifice. What choice do we have? Let's bring the animal, though, from the point of view of halacha, it should not be brought upon the altar. Let's bring this animal. So there was a man by the name of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas says, no, we can't do that. Because if we're going to do that, people may say that if you make a blemish in a holy animal, you get the death penalty for it. And that's not true. We can't permit a mistake of this sort to get out to the public. So they said, well, let's kill Bar Kamsa so he shouldn't make his way back to Rome. So Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas said, the first one was to sacrifice an animal with a blemish. So they'll say you can bring an animal with a blemish. The second option, two optziot, you understand? Two alternativot. I like that Hebrew, you understand? Shtei optziot and shtei alternativot. The second alternative is, they say, let's kill Bar Kamsa so he can't go back to Rome. So Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas says, Austin, now people are going to say that if you make a blemish in a holy animal, you get the death penalty. That's not true. Those are the two alternatives. You know what happened? Nothing was done. And the end was the Churban came. And Rabbi Yochanan made a powerful statement on the Netanuto shel Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, the tolerance displayed by Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas in refusing to have Bar Kamsa put to death, Hecherivat Beitenu, destroyed our temple, Vesorfet Hecholenu, burned down our sanctuary, Vehiglitanu Me'artzenu, and exiled us from our land. What an indictment of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas.
That's a separate issue on its own, the indictment of Rav Schaya ben Avkilas. And the fact is, in order to understand that, the problem with Rav Schaya ben Avkilas is he didn't take a stand. You know, there are people who abstain. You can't abstain from life. In life, you have to take a position, and you have to take a position with all the risks that come with it. The absence of taking a position is mamish destruction. So I agree with you. You're right. So it filtered down for Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas, and nobody took a position. By the way, you should know that there is a Tosefta in the seventh perek of Masechta Shabbos, where the Tosefta says that there's a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel whether you're permitted to remove bones from the table on Shabbos. Is it muktzah or not muktzah? Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. And there was a particular incident at which Rav Zecharia ben Avkilas, the only other time that he's mentioned in all of Shas, and it says like he didn't take a position, not like Beit Shammai and not like Beit Hillel, which is proof, of course, that he simply didn't take a position, and not taking a position is destructive. Yes, you're right, they didn't take a position, but the one who now imposes his will of not taking a position is Rav Schaya ben Avkilas. He sets the tone. Oh, I think I must have told you, or maybe I didn't tell you. Oh, so I'm telling you that the Gemara is telling us that it's not a position. That's why Rabbi Yochanan is saying he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I'll give you an example. This I said some years ago in Ishir. It was in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva of 1993 when Oslo I was being brought to a vote in the Knesset. And in Har Nof, some of my people got the signatures of 1,300 families who were opposed to Oslo. And they asked me to bring it to one of the rabbis in Har Nof so that I should ask him to bring it to the attention of his father, who held sway over a certain political party. Okay? That's the worst. I'm not going to say anymore. Anyway, I come. I come to this gentleman, and I tell him, Kvod HaRav, take a look. We have 1,300 families. So we want that the party, we want to ask that the party you represent should vote against Oslo. So he tells me that Abba, his father, is considering abstaining. Wait a minute. Now, there are very rare opportunities in life where one gets to say the great comeback. We usually think later what I should have said. We don't have it at the time. We always, what we're going to say after we've thought it all over is always better. And we eat our hearts out about it for years. Here, Min HaShemayim, the Rabbeinu Shlilim sent me down. This was clearly Min HaShemayim. It also happened to be that I was learning the Rambam Hilchus Tshuva. You're supposed to learn the Rambam Hilchus Tshuva during the course of Seret Mei Tshuva, I believe. The Rav once said it, that the Rambam wrote it and divided it into 10 chapters so that you learn a chapter a day during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Okay? So I had just that morning, I had learned the Rambam, where the Rambam says that a person should always take a look at himself as though he's half tzaddik and half rasha. And the whole world is half zechuyot and half chovot. If I do a mitzvah, so I have brought greatness upon myself and the whole world. Everybody else? Also mitzvah achas, he does one mitzvah, hechriya es atzmo ves kol olam lekaf tzchut. What happens if he does one aveda? So then unfortunately, you know, you have to take, a person has to see the ramifications of what he does. If he does one aveda, he's going to bring the whole world down with him. So I turned to the gentleman to whom I was speaking, and I said, I don't understand. why did the Rambam only mention two options? The one of doing a mitzvah or the one of doing an aveira? Why doesn't he state the third option? He'll do nothing. So I said, because a mensch tut, a behemoth tut nicht. To abstain is not human. To abstain is destructive. He didn't like me for many years. But we're on good terms now. We talk to one another. Reb Zecharia ben Avkulis is not taking a position, which is infinitely more destructive than taking a position. And you know what? Now I'm going to tell you what my son said. And now that I think of it, it's even better than I thought it was. Right beneath the Gemara, I have the Rashi. You see the Rashi that's underlined? Anvinatunoto. That's one of the most difficult words. Listen to what Rashi says. Rabbi Yochanan says it was the tolerance of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkilis that destroyed the Bet HaMikdash and sent us into exile. So Rashi says, Savlanuto, his tolerance, Shesaval etzeh velo harago, that he tolerated this fellow, Bar Kamsa, and didn't kill him. Wait a minute. Why is Rashi saying that? The Gemara gave us two options. There were two ways out. One way was to bring the sacrifice. The other was to kill Rav Zecharia. That phone must be turned off. All right. There are two options, right? The Gemara said, either be makriv the korban, or kill Bar Kamsa. Rashi says, you know what the tolerance of Rav Zecharia was? That he tolerated this fellow and didn't kill him. Why doesn't Rashi say that they didn't bring the korban? It's an excellent question on Rashi. You know why? So I'll tell you. Because Rashi did take a position. And you know what Rashi's position is? To bring the korban would mean surrender to terrorism. To bring the korban would mean that somebody can come and force Klal Yisrael to do something they don't want to do. That's surrender. That you can't demand of Klal Yisrael, ever. And you know what the real option was? Rashi is making a clear statement. The option was to kill this fellow. Because he is the one who is the threat to the Jewish people, he should be destroyed. What a statement Rashi is making. It's so clear in the words of Rashi. To have been makir the korban, to have brought the sacrifice, would mean that we have all surrendered to an act of absolute terror. Either you do it, or I'm going to snitch on you to Rome. And all Klal Yisrael quietly goes ahead and brings the korban. Can't do that. Rashi makes a clear statement. Rashi has taken a position. Very beautiful vart. So the theme is never surrender. The theme is never give in to terror. And then the one final theme, and with that I end this year. Number 5 is a chapter in Melachim. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just tell you the thrust of the story and then we'll read part of it. One of the great enemies of the Jewish people during the time of Melachim, kings of Israel, was Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. Aram, the whole area of Mesopotamia, Aram was soon going to become the Assyrian Empire that was going to give way one day and become the Babylonian Empire. It was Aram that was the great enemy of the Jewish people. And Ben-Hadad was the worst of them all. Every year, every few years, he would invade. And Israel won a number of lightning victories over him. First column. See where it's underlined. Vayomru Elav Avodov. during one of the invasions, one of his incursions, he 100,000 of his men are lost. He flees. Ben-Hadad, the great Hitler, flees. And write the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk before. Vayonusu hanotarim afeka, those who remained after those who had fallen in battle, which were 100 foot soldiers in one day, those who remained fled to the city of Afeka, Vatipal Achoma, and the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left. And Ben-Hadad nas, Ben-Hadad fled, Vayovel Ha'ir, and he came into the city, Cheder B'Cheder, a room within a room. He hid in the city. I don't know, Saddam someplace in Iraq, Arafat in the Muqtara. Vayovel Avadov, his servants said to him, Hineno Shamanu, we have heard, Ki Malchei Beit Yisrael, Ki Malchei Chesed Heim, we've heard about the kings of Israel, that they're kind people. Nosimo Nosakim B'Mosneinu, let's put sackcloth on, V'chavolim B'Roshenu, and ropes on our heads. V'Neitzeil Melech Yisrael, we're going to go up to the king of Israel. Ula Yechayet Nashecha, maybe he'll let you live. This is the first one who's going to try the Nafal Tipol bit. The Nafal Tipol. Let's go out, let's see, what do you have to lose? Vayach Gru Sakim, so they put on sackcloth on their loins and ropes on their heads, and they came to Melech Yisrael, and they said to him, Avdecha Ben Hadad, your servant, Ben Hadad Omar, Techin on Navshi, please let me live. Vayome, Achav, king of Israel, responds, Ha'odenu Chai? He's still alive. Ochihu, he's my brother. God Almighty. What a tragedy. V'anoshim yinachashu, the people were able to divine, and they figured out already, they were very smart. They figured out by that response. V'yimaru, v'yachaltu, hamimenu, they quickly, they decided, ah, this is coming from him, it's going to be all right. V'yomru, when they said, Ochicha ben Hadad. So they respond, yeah, assalamu alaikum, your brother ben Hadad. Vayoma bo kachuhu, come, king of Yisrael says, come, take him. Vayetzi olav ben Hadad. Ben Hadad came out, vayaleu ala merkava, and he brought him onto the chariot with him. They must have shaked hands. Vayoma elav. And he said to him, so then Ben-Hadad says, those cities that my father took from you were going to return. Everything happy ever after. Wow. Achihu, he is my brother. Then there are going to be a number of psukim where one of the Nevi'im tells somebody to hit him and he refuses to hit him. And he says, because you refuse to hit me, God is going to punish you. All right. It's all related to the story that's going to come. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to read it. It'll take just 2-3 minutes, and I'm going to read it. V'ishachod mibnei anevim omar al reyeyu, one of the men, a son of the prophet, said to his friend, by the command of God, hakeni no. He tells his fellow, God said, hit me, hit me. V'yemoyin ho'ish lahakoso, and the men refused to hit him. V'yomalo, so the Navi said, the prophet said, yana shelu shamato b'kol Hashem, because he didn't listen to the word of God. Hincha holech mi'itiv hikcha aryeh, because you didn't listen to me. God is the one who told me that you should hit me. You didn't listen, you're going to die. He walked off, and along came a lion and killed him. The lion found him. He found another man, and he said to him, please hit me. And the man hit him, but you know, he did the mitzvah the way it should be done. L'mahadrin, hakei upatsoa. He hit him, and he really wounded him. I mean, this guy did the mitzvah, you know, great. The Navi went and he stood in the way of the king. He sort of camouflaged himself with earth or on his eyes. Over, and the Melech was going by, and he cried out to the king, and he said, and he tells the king the following, Your servant went out to war. A man came over to me with another man, and he told me, watch this man. And if you don't guard him and he gets away, it's your life for his life.
Im hi pakeid hi pakeid, and if he's going to be missing, I want you to guard this fellow. V'hoiton nafshecha tachat nafsho, your life for his life. O kikar kesef tishko, or give me a kikar, pay a kikar of kesef. V'yavdecha osa heinu v'heinu v'heinenu. As I was moving around, the man got away. What should I do? So the king of Israel said, you made a deal that you were going to watch this fellow. He got away, so either it's your life or his life, or you're going to have to give kikar kesef. That's you pass judgment. The Navi hurried. He took the ash off his face. The king of Israel recognized him as the prophet. Ki meha neviim hu, that he's from the neviim. Vayomer elav, and he said to him the following. Listen to this pasuk. Ko amar Hashem, so says God. Yan shilachta et ish chermi miyad, because you sent away the man who'd been caught in the trap from the hand. Vahaitan nafshecho tachat nafshal. You had captured him. He was a captive. He was a terrorist. He was a murderer. And you let him go? V'haiton nafshecho tachat nafsho. Your life is going to be for his life. V'amcho tachat amo. Your people will suffer in place of his people. V'yeluch melech Yisrael al beiso. And the king of Israel went home, sor v'zo'eif. V'yavo shamrone, went angry and upset. Ish chermi? He's in your hand. He's a killer. His hands are dripping with Jewish blood. You let him go? You think you held him in your hands because of your strength? I can't get these words out of my head. As I, 447 today? Who knows what will be tomorrow? Yan shilachto, you sent us ish chermi miyot. It's going to be your life. And I think that being your life for his life, you know why? A few years later, Ben-Hadad is going to come and destroy Shomron. How do you like that? He's not repentant at all. Achi! Achi shmachi! Garnished! He destroys Shomron! Churban Shomron! I don't think that any comment needs to be made after learning these psukim. Yehidot Zayn Lifnei Avinu Shabashvayim D'Rabbein Shem should send Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. We should get through these difficult times, and we should be zeicha with great kavana to pour out our hearts before the Rabbein Shem at the Kotel HaMa'aravi on Tisha B'Av, and it should be the last of all Tisha B'Avs.